Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of the Brain Injury Radio Network.
I'm ready to blow it just one more sound.
Brain Injury Radio and Radio Ability are sponsored by the CBI Network.
Find them on facebook.com/TBI Network or at tbifn.org.
Brain Injury Radio is on 7 nights a week, and now, for tonight's episode of Brain Injury Radio.
Oh, I just don't know more.
Watch out for the fall wave. Today, I'm your host, Bill D'Angelo. I'm hoping you all are sitting tight and enjoying your summer and in this wonderful land of ours here in the United States and you around the world in your places where we reach. Hope you're having a good time, too. And I just wanted to begin the program since it coincides with my life and certainly the life that I see happening around me, but with a kicker. That's why I played that song. I don't know how well it went because I didn't play it by tape. I played it right into my microphone or phone, and there's a delay told by the program manager, so who knows how it came out. I'll hear later, or I'll get calls from you cussing me, or I'm better than that, so it's a pretty good riff. But with a delay, who knows how it came out. But maybe it came out good, who knows. I gave it a shot. Needless to say, the essence of the song is that, you know, we're 19 COVID-free in the sense that we seem to be reengaging our national life. I'm sure it's the same way around the world. We're reaching levels, high levels of vaccination. We got to get those stubborn people that decide that for some reason either they're healthier stuff and want to maintain some kind of stubbornness or have some whack-a-mole delusions that somehow the vaccine is killing people. It's not. But what we do know is the virus does. And we're reaching herd mortality. Now, some of the things in the government in which they're going to go door-to-door, you know, get people to do it, fine. People should, you know, I'm not for that, but I think people need to start taking this seriously. You know, maybe something, send them a fine, I don't care, but get people vaccinated. You know, they're resistant to this, it's stupid and stubborn, and we can get herd mentality. Now, the second phase of this, and we're seeing now going to be, as they get results from these various vaccinations, I think I had the Pfizer, two-shot. You know, they may have another dose coming, and they may see which one's the most effective. You know, they're going to have a lot of information based off all these vaccinations worldwide, the different ones, and what's the most effective. And they're going to look into the various different things that for this particular thing, because we're hoping to hit herd mentality. Now, the second kicker is, and this is where, that's why I played the second song, because this likely is not going to be over. And we must understand the kind of audience. That includes me here. I had open heart surgery 2 years ago. I'm back fully. I mean, I'm engaging. I live a full life. I plan to do all sorts of things. currently dating very strong. I'm planning to take trips. Probably going to delay it because of some of the information I have about travel. But eventually this thing is going to end. But at some point, we have to look that there's going to be, they've predicted it, and there could be a second wave. And I've been kind of, you know, I stopped wearing a mask. I played tennis 3-4 hours in the heat, 3 hours in 90-degree weather. That's how well I'm conditioned, but I'm still vulnerable. I avoided it the last time. I had my own little system, and I hope you did too for protection. I bring alcohol with me. I still got loads of bottles. I'm going to wear the mask again, probably towards the fall, maybe delay trips and stuff because of it. Because the likelihood that other strains come in about, meaning variants on the corona, and are coming about, and we're going to have to prepare. Now, I, like this audience, I'm sorry I got off track, are vulnerable. Remember, our audience here, this whole radio network is founded upon brain injured, and by and large, people with brain injury, in most cases, are in very high-risk groups for various related health conditions. And so you have to be cautious. And so personally, me, I'm not going to say what everyone should do, except the fact that it's not a guarantee it's going to happen, but the likelihood, there's evidence, like for instance, and I just found out today, you see information, Japan is going to suspend audiences at the Olympics because they've now gotten a high incidence of a new strain out in Japan. Now, the point of what they're calling that is the point of my second thing about misinformation that has to do with a particular thing, which we'll get into pretty soon, is that we may have a kickback. So my personal view is I'm going to get cautious towards the end of the summer. I've been vaccinated fully, and I'm going to look to see if there's a second vaccine, if the authorities come up with it. Maybe they'll just start vaccinating people twice. And I don't know what the outcome, but I've been hearing reports that there are incidences in some cities. There's variants. Now we're going to have to find out how effective which vaccine towards which variants. Some of them may be effective, some of them not. We don't know. I'm sure they're working on it to some extent. But we have to, as always, it always comes down to you can't depend on the company, you can't depend on your mama, you can't depend on the government. You have to depend on yourself. Matter of fact, just to give you a notation, you know, there was a time last year when they said, oh, if you don't have the virus, don't wear the mask. I wore the mask anyway. I walked around with a bottle of alcohol. I didn't bother with all this other stuff. I clean my hands with alcohol. I still do it. I may not wear the mask, but I wear, I clean. Before I walk in the door or go into the store, I clean my hands with a bottle of alcohol to get all the other stuff. So I think practicing caution, I may not do a performance in a venue. I was planning on playing the guitar and going down to this bar in Atlanta, 35, it's going to be, you know, 70, 80, 100 people. And I was thinking of going. I was starting to think, well, this is clear. I'm ready to go. I'm not really so sure that that's going to be something that's going to be best. I'll probably stick to something like a little get-together, maybe 6 people, keep it cautious, wear masks, stay safety distance. Why push it? Why, since I haven't courted, why do it? Now, that's what, so you have to take into account. And this is another thing. It gets on to my second part of the thing that I discovered last year. Now, I don't go into direct politics on this program. I try to keep it issue-based. And I changed politically because of some of the events and the awareness of what people were propagating or using propaganda, is what it is, as a political philosophy. And it goes in. And I didn't come from it from a contrary point of view. I was actually in camp thinking that maybe this is good until I read and looked at what they were saying and the facts of the situation And the facts stared me somewhere else. And I'm very proud of the fact that even though there are some aspects of a certain party policies that I favored, the fact that I was able to recognize the infactuality of their policies and some of their arguments in the face of cold hard facts and changed my mind. And that's where I came into the woke program, and which leads us into this healthcare crisis with the corona. Because now the woke, in the merry facets of American public discourse that have been affected by this, and we can go on some of the list. I'm going to probably bring on someone else, maybe talk to someone else that may be calling in on this that was interested, and we'll expand on this. But I'm not going to get into the contrary political argument. I'm going to get into the merits of the woke philosophy and the factualities of the policies that they espouse. And on that basis, that it's erroneous just on the factual basis. For instance, I just mentioned the part of the problem with the naming. There's a whole issue in the woke world. Oh, you can't call it the China virus. Well, there used to be a time they used to call all sorts. At one time, there was the Hong Kong flu. There was the other flu, and they didn't think it was some kind of either prejudiced or racial thing. They just wanted to signify the area where a particular strain, virus, or some malady was coming from. Who knows? Could have been cholera or whatever. Then they would name it, you know, that area. I think there was a something else flu. There was a Spanish flu that caused a lot of deaths at the 100 years ago, which was the last big pandemic. And so so they can't name China. Well, the reality is, as we determine how deep we go into what happened in China, whether they were experimenting in a lab, I don't have clear indications of what happened. And I think in considering that they're a closed society, a totalitarian society, we will never really know. We're going to probably find out in, you know, 20 years later, the real facts, if they ever come out and stuff. But we do know it did come from there. It was first started there, regardless of whether it was by accident or they planned. I don't think they would plan to do something like that, only in the sense that they don't know how that's really going to affect them. You know, it might not be the best outcome. You know, you start setting something off, but whatever. But needless to say, it did come from there. But as part of the unmitigated unreality of wokeness, you can't identify it for some reason that doesn't make sense. And for instance, now when we concurrently bring that up to current, as I'm looking to travel, I was speaking to my program manager today, and as we're talking about, because I was aware of the Olympics, and they're calling, I don't know what Delta is, why they're calling something Delta. Is that just a politically correct woke expression for how to go about calling something without casting a racial slant to it? It's like a denial of reality. And so that's where I come up with the expression, don't be woke, just be waked. Don't no woke, just be waked. Meaning wake is fine, meaning wake up to reality in all things, whatever. And now if we have a political that's been generated and pushes not only a theory, but a political argument for policy, it's really ridiculous. And it's really policy when you say, I'm not going to name it the Japanese strain because it's coming from Japan. Well, I, who's looking to travel, would like to know that there's a strain of the virus in Asia or wherever. Could be Europe, could be the London strain or the English virus. And so it's just one of many facets where this wokeness is a denial of reality for some utopian pure reason where in some world there's a total oblivion about the differences between the people. Now, I'm not advocating for anyone harming anyone by the basis that I think everyone deserves equal treatment, as most people do. But to be unaware of things in terms of that, and to go on and go on and deny fact, you're costing lives. And it's happening in other areas of the woke argument in terms of policy related to the health issue, which is why I brought this up. And again, I know it's been pushed by a particular party. I'm not identifying. I'm just dealing with the merits of the actual action and the actual policies around it. And I think it can be disproved by the facts. I don't think there's anything prejudice calling something that's based in China flu. It gives people a quick area of where something's coming. And it goes on and on in other aspects. And you know what? They sell it as somehow this is a good thing and kind thing to do. It's not. Because there's nothing kind about being out of reality. And woke is sleeping. It's a dream state. And wake is wake, meaning I'm awake, like I am now. And be waked, not woke, as they say. And so you got to look at these things. And you, when you're navigating, because I'm only here once a month, you have to negotiate how to look for the facts of the situation. And you have to avoid the disrealities that's being pushed all over social media, on the major networks. And you have to be aware enough to take ownership of getting yourself educated, which I do. That's what I do. I find the facts of the situation. And that's how I was able to change. Thinking one thing was okay until the facts that I'm always looking for contradicted things I thought were okay, and I rebelled against it, changed the whole direction, and I saw the fallacy in it, and I started to look further and further, and I kept seeing nothing in anything in terms of the woke movement. I saw nothing but disinformation, lack of facts, lack of reality. For political purposes, and also just because people then they get like brainwashed, where they're literally walking around thinking, this is okay, this is the way to be. You've got network anchors, highly educated people, just espousing this stuff, and it gives you, for instance, how it's transferred in others. It certainly has happened with the whole racial contention we've had in this country over the last year, because I became so realizing that as everything became a identity racial issue, and woke is part of that, because it's like that's part of the woke, and they don't, part of these woke movements on the people that support it, guess what, they want to be nice to China. China is the most brutal, most repressive, totalitarian country on the face of the earth. They will murder 2 million people without a blink of an eye. You think they have a problem with 2 million people dying from this? If need be to clean up a economic area of their country or city, they would murder the people. They've done it before. All you have to do is go back and look at what Mao did in the Cultural Revolution, wiped out 100 million people. He was actually a bloodier dictator and more successful and never was overthrown than Stalin or Hitler. Literally just wiped them out. Continued, just took them off, told them to do this, just the whole thing, right in the 1960s. And China would do that. And you have all these people that are so woke here, all of a sudden, there, it's a whole different ballgame. And they're not only, I think they're the worst regime, and I've not only because they're worse than other third world countries, it's because they've got tremendous economic and military power, truly. And so they can do much more than some small dictator in some small country and or some totalitarian country that's got no money. What are they going to do? Lock you up? They can do all sorts of mechanized things. And what they've done in Hong Kong and stuff, and they're certainly expansionists, and we're in a rivalry position with them now. And the reality is, from a political, geopolitical point of view, we have to get smart bipartisanly in relation to them economically and militarily moving forward. And the woke kind of movement is a dullard on that, in which they are poo-pooing with China. And who is part of that? Apple Computer. You have various different major companies. The NBA, who was all over the country last year, castigating its viewership, which is now down to precipitously low numbers because of it. And but apparently it's okay what they do in China. And if you think anybody has any oppression here in China, the police don't question whether they step on you. They just will murder you. They will take you up, and you will be buried somewhere without question. They'll just shoot you, murder you, chop your head off, feed you to dogs. Just remember Tiananmen Square and the guy in the tank. They would roll over people in the tanks. And so, you know, when we do this, we get, and like I said, I look at the woke as it's, and the more I became aware of it and the repulsion of it in my own mind, I just looked at it and I just said, my goodness, they're lying to these people. It started with the whole George Floyd incident and transferred into the whole Black Lives Matter movement, in which everything was castigated. And all of a sudden, the United States was put in this bad light. And it just did not bear out in the reality of the facts. I just looked. I know history. I know what's happened here. I know the difference in this country from today. And this is not the United States of 150 years ago. If you believe their movement, you'd think it was yesterday that the Civil War was fought. It was 170 years ago, or whatever it is. And we're talking about. And so how does that transfer into a woke movement? It's a little thing I discovered, is that if you look at police reports now, they do not report racial identities of criminal suspects, murderers, and I don't understand why. They will do it if it's a certain characteristics, but they won't identify because of race. How they will not do that, it boggles my mind. How that is a racial thing. What is the guy? He's either one. All of a sudden, in any other portion, they would say what the guy was when you have a picture. Even when you have pictures, they don't do it. And to me, it's gone amok. To compensate for whatever happened years ago, we've gone such an instance where every time, so now when you have a, think about that. Because of that situation, some murderer could go free because they decide, well, we're not going to identify what race they are. That would be like saying, if he's 6 foot, we're going to not say he's 6 foot. We'll just say he's a guy. Or maybe you can't say that anymore. Oh, you can't give away gender. Think about it. You can carry it. Well, what are you going to say? Someone murdered someone. Who knows? We don't know. You know, how are you going to identify him? I mean, it's so stupid. And so these things are now transferring into all the issues surrounding the COVID is now related to that. Why they can't tell you the country of origin boggles the mind. It's the same thing like not telling, well, someone shot someone down at 7-Eleven. What's the description? What do you say? First thing you say is a middle-aged white guy with a bald head. Okay. And bald head, wore glasses. Well, what happens if it's a black guy? You say it's a black guy with middle-aged black guy with a bald head and a baseball cap on. That's a big difference. They're not to eliminate that. Or a Hispanic man. Now, that doesn't mean you know, it could be general, different tones of things, and they say that. But the reality is it gives you a little more specific. It's only a initial thing. And usually they're pretty accurate. If you listen to the police reports of the Kennedy assassination, they had him down pat, what kind of guy he was. You know, 24 to 30, thinning hair, about 160 pounds, 5'11", 5'10". They had him down pat, Oswald. Exactly the description. You know, white male, right. They had him down pat. 5'10", 100 pale skin, short hair, short thinning hair, 100 maybe 150 pounds, which is exactly what he was, and back then, just to give you an example. So it's decidedly makes it more and more difficult for us to function, because by doing it, what we're doing, it's almost like what these people are doing is, you see, they want to, they're pushing policies based on a non-factual, unreality set of facts. It's almost like you're, by making it a policy, you're trying to make the world as you want it, but it's not reality. It's sort of like saying, it's like the cat that goes under the table, man. I'll stick my head under the bed and the boogeyman will go away. In other words, if we don't say it's from China, maybe there won't be a virus. I mean, how out of world is that, that you don't want to place the value because you may hurt the Chinese feelings or because some economic motivation is there? Please. It just gets more and more annoying. And now to a point where we're going into a situation, like I said, it's not a political issue. It's used as a political issue in sense of pushing a policy based on it. But it can be attacked on its merits or lack of. And so, and I'm going to bring in someone, see if they want to get on. And hello. Hello.
Hello. Hello.
And hello. This is Solutions Today with Bill. Who do we have here, or should we just call you number one since you're 111?
Yeah, that's a good one.
We'll call you number one.
K. Huh? Yeah, number one or K, number one or K or whatever. Yeah.
We'll call you. We'll call you one. Because what your phone came up is 111s instead of a number. So I'll call you one. I said 9 ones there. And
cool.
I had spoken. Huh? That's good. I had spoken to you earlier today and about this subject. I love my expression. I put it in my write-up, be wake, not woke. I love it. I'm going to put that in a song. But have you heard my basic beginning part of the program and where it went so far?
I did, yeah, and I don't disagree at all. I can tell you that you asked about Delta, and the next one is Lambda.
Is that the new name of the new variant? They're naming it Delta as opposed to naming it for an origin.
That's correct. And what those things are,
is
alpha,
that the politically,
delta,
is that the
lambda.
That's the politically correct way? Do they know where it comes from? I bet you they do.
Well, I can tell you where they come from because they haven't been able to erase that. But those words, by the way, are Greek words. And, you know, like if you were in a sorority or a fraternity in the day,
like Delta
there was Phi Beta Kappa, Delta
Phi.
So the World Health Organization is the one that got the bright idea, instead of identifying the variants by number or country, to start calling them after these Greek names like a fraternity or a sorority. So that's where it's going from. The Delta variant that was the UK variant, and then it became the Delta variant when the World Health Organization decided to change how
variants. They got woke.
They got woke, and 71% of all the... Now, 2 weeks ago, this wasn't true, but now in every state in our country, there is Delta variant, and that's the predominant strain that's spreading at this time. Now, Lambda is being watched in Peru, the South America area,
Is that another variant name, Lambda?
Yes, that's the next one that they're watching is Lambda. So Delta was the UK variant. Lambda is one in Central America.
Do you know the one in Japan? They
well,
haven't come up with a name.
I'm not sure if they're not maybe full of the original COVID or if they're theirs, like ours, is predominantly Delta or which variant it is. All we know right now is they're having an explosion of some form of COVID over in Japan, and that's why it's compromising
Listen, you never know. Sometimes they outbox themselves. They'll end up running a computer simulation for the name of the variants. God help them if they come up with the one and just shoot it out and they call it A-bomb. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I don't know how many Greek characters there are for these variants.
They might run out and the computer rolls over and comes up with A-bomb. you'd have 90 million Japanese screaming. Yeah, or could be worse, you know.
Yeah,
Hiroshima.
True. Well, and
No, seriously. You see how the logical lunacy of it? The irony is, I swear, if that happens in a week, you'd call me immediately. They named it A-bomb, and now they're screaming because they sound terrible. Just kidding.
Yeah, well, that wouldn't be on the new Greek, you know.
I know.
Thing that they're on now with these fraternity sorority names,
that are out of the old Greek words.
I agreed with you, though. I wouldn't mind knowing where they're coming from because if I were doing international travel, I probably wouldn't want to head that direction. I'll give you an example here at home, and I was telling you about this morning. When I saw the map last night that showed every state was infected with the Delta variant, one of the things they showed was Missouri, Springfield, Missouri, is blowing up with it particularly bad to the extent they, according to the news article I read, they needed to borrow ventilators because they were having a particularly bad blow up. Arkansas, it spreads down into Arkansas. They touch borders, and then Oklahoma on the other side. And then I think it was Nevada. I can't swear to that. But to bring it to the point, my husband and I go to a place usually the first week in May, and we've deferred it the last 2 years because the virus has been so active. I didn't feel comfortable traveling even in the car. You know, I didn't feel comfortable getting away from home. And we rebooked our first week in May anniversary to go to this area in Arkansas. We've never seen it in the fall, the Ozark Mountains. So we, because COVID was still going strong in May, we rebooked it for mid-October so that we could see fall, a different season down there. Well, the reason I paid attention last night, and thankfully it told us on our map where it was blowing up, is that if we were to be leaving next week, which we're not, but if we were, I know because it showed it on the map that it's blowing up in Arkansas right now and Missouri, which you have to drive all the way down the border between Nebraska, Iowa, and Missouri to get down to Arkansas. So we'd be going right down the hot spot, and you can bet your ass I wouldn't be leaving if this was next week. And now where I'm at is on standby watching that area. Now, for people who are world travelers,
this is what I want my audience to pay attention to as I'm doing it in my travels and adjusting it. Like I said, I'd like to know Japan, because I was thinking of taking a trip. It's relevant for me to know areas where it come from. And what you're doing is what other people need to do to become aware of getting through the clogging woke clouds and finding the reality of the situation, what's happening, why it's happening, so that you can make personal adjustments so you don't go driving into it and come down with it. Could you imagine you drive to a city and you end up sitting in a hospital bed because you couldn't down with it? How much it would put a cramp in your plans, you understand? So And anyway, finish your thing. I'm trying to just let my audience know that what we're, as we're presenting that, this is what the audience needs to do for themselves, because ain't mommy, ain't daddy Biden going to come over, knock on your door and tell you what to do. By the way, Joe, is it safe up there? They're not going to do it. You have to take the initiative to find out for yourself, like you have to do on everything.
Well, they are going to knock on your door about something else. Did you hear about that?
Oh,
the end
mean,
of my sentence, anyway, is if I were
sorry,
an intercontinental traveler,
the
I would like to.
Give it
no, they're going
to
the be knocking.
Wait,
no, they're
going to
be knocking on the door for another reason. Let me finish this sentence, and then you can finish
it.
Your part of what you were going to say. I'll tell you, all I was going to say is the end of maybe all I had to say about the first part of what you were talking about is that, and if I were an intercontinental traveler, I'd want to be able to know, just like I found out from our local news about the area of, you know, the United States right now that's blowing up with Delta. The thing I could say that would maybe put a blanket over that whole issue is that I think you can assume right now that no country has it under control, and it's still very much active and mutating wherever
right.
you go. So the people that were just
right.
sick
Thank
of COVID, you know,
good,
they've got
one.
COVID fatigue, and they just simply
yeah.
want it to be over. And that's
right.
another, when you were talking about reality, there's people that are just sick of COVID, and it
yes.
got to be summer, and they're like, screw it, we've got the vaccine, we're going to go out and just live our life and pretend like it's over. Nobody ever said it was over. We never met herd immunity. We never got the amount of vaccines we were told needed to be had to create herd immunity, and it never stopped mutating and manifesting. And so, you know, everybody that was pretending just because it's summer and they're sick of the last year and a half to declare it within themselves that it's over, that's just simply not true. So I would have to concur with you. You know, without being an alarmist, I don't want to sound that way, but you also brought up the fact that a lot of us listening here have underlying conditions.
Sure.
And when they stopped reporting, you know, like certain channels reported every night, you know, the number of new cases and the number of deaths,
we're finding
out more and more about long haulers. You know, they're not doing that anymore, so they made it even easier for people to be able to feed their own denial, like
exactly.
that this thing
no.
is over when it's not.
Yes.
And so
in other
I would
words,
still do...
Go ahead.
What
yeah,
you
in
said.
Other words, what did you say?
I would still... If it were me, I would still do what you said. You're probably not going to see me going into any indoor
no.
events where people are
no.
crowded together,
no.
Not even with a mask. For one thing, the masks, to be honest with you, the masks, I can't breathe very well in them.
And
so
the typical paper mask doesn't prevent anything.
No,
that
it doesn't do any good at
But
all,
what
so.
I do, what I do do is I do wash with alcohol continually. I have it in my car. I just wipe, clean my hands with it.
Me
That's
too.
My method.
Me too. Me too. And I try to still social distance. You know, even when I'm outside, I try to stay a comfortable distance away from people. I maybe have a little wider comfort zone than I used to have. You know, when you'd walk up and give someone. Everyone you saw a hug.
No,
oh, hey, how you doing? You know, I'm not doing that kind of stuff, you know.
But you're correct. It's part of the wokeness of the major media. All of a sudden, not only the wokeness, but the unreality of chasing headlines, they literally, you're right, they haven't done what they used to do when it was all being ginned up. Remember? It was like the story du jour. Well, now, because it's not a popular story, they're just dropping it. You don't hear it on the local. You don't hear it on the national.
Correct.
It doesn't exist. You know when they
yes.
do? When the hospital, all of a sudden, they get a report, and it becomes a little sizzle, and there's they're piling the people up in the parking lot. Then they'll do something. In other words, they feed
when
it
can't
the,
be denied.
Right, right. When people are being are on stretches out the back door of the hospital. It reminds me, like I said, it's why I came up with the one, not woke, wake. Wake means you look at the reality as me and you have done in terms of my way of coming to the conclusion. When you kept looking at the woke philosophy in terms of many issues, I mentioned another one that relates to this because it's related to the countries they're now denying. In other words, now to be politically correct, for some theoretical reason, we're not going to tell you the origin of the country. We're going to call it Delta. I want to know where Delta comes from. Does it come from here? That is relevant information to protect. Just the way you want national media, you probably had a dig for that. You got to do it yourself.
Right.
Because if you depend on them, you wouldn't hear a word. You wouldn't hear a word.
No, you'd believe everything is over with,
right?
Except that I can tell you about the door knocking. Now, I just heard this before
I came on your show. I saw something.
The door knocking?
About vaccinations.
The only thing I'd like to say about that, I did get, as you know, I think we might have talked about it before, but I did get the vaccine.
Kim. I have a flash,
what?
An image. Let's just break for a second. So what they're going to do is there's going to be two burly guys coming from the FBI. They're going to knock on your door.
Yep.
The guy's going to say, kiss my rear end. I ain't getting no vaccine. You know what they're going to do? Bend them over and pull his pants down.
Yeah.
And you're going to have one of these reporters with a camera asking a guy how he... I'm just kidding.
Well, beware black SUVs in your neighborhood. If it's not the guys with the watchtower, it's the vaccine checkers.
Listen. I want to see him go into all the ghettos of the country to do that.
My problem, if I could just say real quick, the problem I have with that, and I got the vaccine,
yeah,
all right?
Yeah, by the way, Kim, I've got proof. I'm going to make sure to keep it. I made sure to get copies and everything. I got proof I'm vaccinated. You ain't going to touch me.
Well, I'm not. Right now, until something has changed, this is still American. It's none of their business. So I won't be providing that information if they ask. And so,
you're going to tell them,
still America, they can pound sand. But
get out of my door. Do you have a warrant? You don't have a warrant? Hit the road back.
You know what I'm going to say, because this is a pet peeve I have. While we're getting this shoved down our throat and they're in the process of making not only one, but talking about making two more boosters of an experimental drug for us to put in our body, what I'm going to say, if anybody knocks on my door, is I tell you what, the day that I answer that question, and it's going to be this easy, when we are shoving it down our tax-paying citizens' throat that the right thing to do is to have the vaccine, it is an oxymoron that defies my sense of logic that we've got the borders wide open with people who are infected not getting a vaccine being dispersed around the country. It feels like that is really undermining the safety that you're trying to project that you're giving to our citizens by paying for these vaccines if you totally undermine it. And so what I'm going to do is say, this is how quick we could get that herd immunity and get rid of this virus, and slam the door in their face, because slamming the door on the border would be about how much quicker we could wipe this up. And I'm not saying this. The news said one of the biggest issues going on that are keeping people from getting the vaccine, because face it, right now the people who were planning on getting it or on the fence have gotten it. The ones
right.
that haven't likely have made up their mind they're not gonna. And that puts us at a place short
and
of immunity,
what they
and why they're going to come out knocking on the door. They said the reason, this is important.
The logistical nightmare of them thinking they're going to get knocking on doors is madness. It's
well,
not effective.
No, it's not, but I'm just saying.
Do you realize the amount of manpower it would take? Oh, excuse me, you've got to be politically correct. Human power. That's another one. By the way, I'm going to tell you something, since I'm some of the women that I've been looking at online. I have some online dating sites. You can all know it, audience. And one of them is in Australia, only because, you know, that's where a section of somewhere. Right, well, pleasantly. So I happen to look at somehow or another, I got, because they mentioned something about the ratio of women in a town in Australia, I forget the name of it, that's where I saw it, and it was online. So I looked at it, and I watched the broadcast. You know, it's an article, you know, the women in this particular area, there's like 120 women to like 80 men. So I thought that'd be a good sight to look on. Better numbers, it's in your face, right? Yeah. And Australia's kind of got a nice thing to me. You know, I like Aussies. And I'm telling you, I will listen to the broadcast of this woman and man from Australia, and they're so much relaxed and better, and so, not taking themselves seriously. And they were talking about the shortage of men. So guess what the Australian, she's there with the woman, and they're talking about it. And he looks at her and he says, oh, well, that's wonderful. And so you know what he starts to do just to make it funny? He starts to sink in his chair like he's short. And they're joking. What I'm trying to say is they had an easiness to joke about not taking it so seriously, as opposed to me saying, manpower and then have to change it. I mean, they were both not taking it. She's over there saying, well, I'm sure you like those numbers better. I'm not too thrilled. They were being so human and real. It was a breath of fresh air that you can't see on an American broadcast today. They're sitting there with sticks
understood.
Up their backs.
Yeah,
right. So,
true.
Right.
Very
right.
True.
And so, I mean, it's literally, they would get in trouble because what are you, goofing on short people? You understand, that's the kind of nut house we live in this work world. And so, but the idea that you would have all these people knocking on doors, I want to see them go into like, you know, I don't know, go into some really, what they need to do is go into poor areas, because those are the people that probably didn't get the vaccine. I guarantee you. What are they going to do, knock on some?
Well, they have. Check. They've set up, mobile. They've taken mobile compounds into all the underprivileged areas that may not be able to travel or whatever. They've taken mobile clinics right into the neighborhoods to try to encourage people to get the vaccine. But like I was saying, the number one reason across the races, okay, this is something, hello, we got something in common, Americans, no matter what color or sex you are, is a lack of trust in the government and what they're doing. And I don't know what the other people's reason for a lack of trust is. I got a few of them, but one is really driving us all the time about the vaccine, but then letting the southern border be open. I mean, there's not only COVID coming over the border, and it's been reported, and they're dispersing them all over the country. That's been reported. None of this is guessing or conjecture. It's out there in a million places to see. But the other thing that concerns me is there's diseases we've eradicated, like tuberculosis and polio and syphilis. And, you know, when
cholera.
You let millions of people come over the
cholera.
Border unchecked, yes, that too. I'm just saying, you're bringing, I'll stick to COVID for a minute, just let that be a sidebar, that there's a lot of other potential diseases that could be coming along, but they're not checking. You know, the way that people are coming across the border and they've tied the hands, you know, of border police and ICE to just watch as people are coming across the border. They're not testing them and they're not vaccinating them. So why should I get a vaccine and risk my life when you're going to undermine me doing that?
And the truth of the matter is, I come from New York City. I lived in a city where just in the harbor of the city, where my forefathers came, is a place and a whole island set up called Ellis Island.
Yeah.
And
mine
if you
too.
Go there, yours too, went through Ellis Island. And if you're really lucky, you can go visit it. It's like a museum now, parts of it. They literally had a whole system for checking. I mean, in fact, if you see the beginning of The Godfather, take a look. It's a classic movie, right? Well, guess what? The scene
yeah.
in Ellis Island, when he's in the hospital, it's because he had some kind of condition. They kept him isolated. That happened to
exactly.
people.
Exactly.
So it was created at Ellis Island to screen people for diseases.
Yeah.
Yeah, they
yes.
did that. And a matter of fact, the scene of Michael Vito Corleone looking in the hospital room was because he was found to have something, and he had to sit there. He might have had, I don't know what it is, maybe he had whatever it is. He had to sit there, and he was isolated for like 60 days alone in the room before they, and he's
exactly.
there watching. He's looking at the Statue of Liberty, whatever it is. So that happened. That was real. And if you go look at Ellis Island, it was designed to do that, where you had an organ. People think that they just had
yeah.
waves coming over. You could not get in the country. You had to go through Ellis Island. You had to be stamped. You had to have this and that. They would question you. And then you would be medically examined. Everybody, including my grandparents, his mother, father, and brothers had to go through Ellis Island at the turn of the last century. He used to tell me, seriously. So, family.
No, all mine too. And, Bill,
yeah.
that's still true for legal immigration. They still do the same thing, not at Ellis Island, but legal immigration
places.
Has always
right.
been about protecting the
yes.
population. When you've got foreigners coming in from wherever they're coming from, they do exactly what you just said. That precedent was set up, you know, back at Ellis Island, and they've done that with legal immigration ever since, and that is to protect the citizens. So if you're the administration and you're telling me that you – there's a couple points here interesting I think you'll appreciate – is – you're the administration telling me that you're trying to protect me and our country by having us get this vaccine from getting this horrible disease, yet
right.
you're not walking the talk when it comes to the border. You're not treating, even if you want to have millions of people come in and you let everything get out of control when you made that blanket invitation and it drowned you because your plan backfired. You don't even have to admit that, but you still, if you're really protecting me and you wonder why people don't trust the government right now, how can I trust you when you're not doing what we've always done, which is screen people for communicable diseases before they come into the country? If I need to get a COVID test, if I need to get a vaccine, why do the people crossing the border not need to do the same?
Well, then what's the point of us having to be so crazy about it? What's the point?
Exactly. That's my point. It was never 100% effective, okay? And here's one other thing I'll tell you. The Pfizer, for example, was 95%, and the other one, Moderna, was like 93%, and J&J was like 87%, something like that. So you never got 100% when you got that vaccine, but you did get a lot of protection. That's why a lot of us went for it, because 95% is a lot better than 0%. But then they went on to say later, after we got these, that people who had underlying conditions or who were elderly did not necessarily get that 95%.
What did they get?
They might be more around 85% or 90%, maybe. They don't know for sure.
Bad.
They just know that it's not the same efficacy. Yeah, it might be. Their point just was that it's not the same efficacy for people that have underlying conditions.
There's another issue for our audience to understand, which is something I haven't heard. And I've suspended watching major media. I haven't watched it in months. I don't watch it. I get my news from other sources, and I don't watch it because I think it's like I literally disconnected it from my.
It nauseates you.
Yes,
I get
it. I don't watch it. Well, they lied so many months to me, and they're espousing such lies that I've caught them in all their lies, the unreality.
Agreed.
Of what they're doing.
Yeah.
And I just don't. I'm just not going to even bother watching them. I won't watch a program they have. And I'll bring up a couple of examples, because now what the woke people are doing is now attacking, since they don't have a boogeyman in Trump no more, and they're in charge of everything. Guess what's happening? Like every revolution, they're eating themselves. They're starting to go after their own woke crowd. It happened on ESPN. The announcer was let go. The big kerfuffle. For ridiculous reasons. It happened last year with Chris Matthews. He's a liberal. He was tossed off the air. You know why they tossed this guy off the air? 74-year-old guy. So seriously, this is just the Me Too movement. That's why I won't even listen to them at all anymore. Hey, remember, he worked for Tip O'Neill and Jimmy Carter, okay? He sometimes could be conservative, but he's basically a lefty, right? That's what he is, right? You've seen him. I'm sure you know
he is.
Right? Kind of a Philadelphia. You probably didn't even dislike. Right. I always liked him, because sometimes he would get conservative, because he kind of came from that Catholic, Irish Catholic, where they have a mix in their family. He even said it. You know, they're all conservatives. And he was, too. He voted for Bush. So he had this, but anyway, so he's always pretty fair. I liked him because he gave the street end. And this is why they got this poor guy, because there was some woman he has as a panelist who he told he thought she looked pretty a few times. I mean, are you serious? I'm beyond anything. And I've talked to women I know, cousins. They said, well, you know, I'd probably smile and say, thank you. He's married to a very successful woman. He wasn't making a plate for her. He was just saying how pretty she looked. Was it probably not something I would do? I'm pretty cautious with that. I tend to be strict about my boundaries. I'm not in the workplace, but I was always I'm a little younger than him. And he's, comes from that, why wouldn't you just leave the old guy alone? He said, you look beautiful. I've seen it happen once. Brent Musburger, there was a cheerleader for the quarterback of the University of Alabama, who's a very pretty girl. And he blurted out on air, she's like the quarterback for the Alabama football team, A.J. McCarron. And he said, oh, my God. And she was. She's a gorgeous 21, you know, beautiful smile, beautiful, and gorgeous. I mean, he's striking. And he did it. And the woman did not take it badly, and they were giving him a hard time, and she came out and said, look, he's a nice man. I took it as a compliment. I'm very successful. I'm training to be a veterinarian. I have no problem with my education. He happened to see me. I'm not offended at all. And that was the end of it. Well, this girl that had Matthews fried him too. Now what I'm telling you, so what I'm showing with the woke, now they're starting to go after each other. In other words, it's not enough that they go after everyone else. Now it's how woke you can be. So for a guy to lose and have to resign a job that he's had for 20 years, whether you like him or not, because of something like that, it's utter madness. Would you agree with me?
I mean, yeah, I would have responded the way all of your women did, your relatives that just would have smiled and said thank you, and the woman who wasn't intimidated by that. It wasn't grab ass or anything like that. It was somebody paying a compliment.
Right.
And the point in that whole thing you just said is I think we should be the ones to be able to decide personally. I don't know if I need to have the government dictate or any special interest group or any political party. They don't need to indoctrinate me how to think.
No.
Guess what? My brain might have been a little injured, but I still got one, and I can process information and make my own decisions without it being spoon-fed to me, you know, like I'm a member of the Communist Party, you know.
I was thinking something even worse than that. It's like the Spanish Inquisition. That some guy works. I mean, why would you even do that? Now, even that was so bad that everyone. I mean, he survived it because he probably was ready to retire anyway. He's got lots of money. It's not going to hurt him. But the reality is, it's not a valid reason. I just don't think you should do that. And now, when you have people now being called a racist for any particular reason, everything is racial. For instance, how it's affected it. This is another woke thing. This is something I noticed on my own. This is how bad it is. And it's one of the reasons why I'm attacking it as a basis of theory and with the effort towards policy to continually call it out as erroneous on the facts of the situation, like Chris Matthews being fired for something. I don't care. I don't think telling someone they look good. I've told a lot of people they look good sometimes in the course of my career. I've told guys, hey, you look sharp today. Doesn't mean I'm looking to gag them. I've told women that. Hey, come on. And if some old guy, 72-year-old, tells, oh, you just look so gorgeous. It's like the old Brett Musburger. He's like 70 years old. He looked at her. He probably had a flash of when he was youthful. She's this beautiful 20. She took it in the vein it was met. He didn't mean anything fresh. He just was admiring her. And she knows she's good looking. She probably dresses up so people find her better looking. You know, she's perfectly dressed, all this stuff. You know, so believe me, I've seen women on the street. They don't mind it as long as you don't gawk at them in some perverted, weird way. You know, you do that, then they tend to say, back off, fella. But if you just tell them they look nice, most of the time when they're in that vein at 25, they're happy to take the compliment, you know, most of the time, if they're secure and happy with themselves, you know. So, but the key is, and then when you go transfer it, and what I did is I discovered this. Just it was part of my becoming so aware of this, why I've decided to counter it. And now I find it, as I was going to discuss Corona, that it's involved in that. It's involved in racial issue. Well, guess what? It affects people because people die because of this. It affects people's career. Now, if a crime happens, they do not describe the racial identity of the people.
Well,
think about that.
You alluded to it earlier, but
I've seen it.
The reason I'm agreeing with you is because suddenly the word profiling has gotten to be a dirty word, like telling a girl she's pretty. You know, the FBI has a whole department of profilers, and it's designed to help be able to solve crimes. If you can't describe the perpetrator, then how do you know what to look for? It's not
it's purposely racist, it's
profiling the perpetrator in a particular crime.
I gave a, for instance, 7-Eleven held up, man balding.
Yes. No, I got
okay.
it. You were
man,
right.
Man,
when you said that, the first word I thought of, was profiling. And that's become a dirty word. But it wasn't designed to be. Profiling wasn't a racial concept.
What they will do
it was a division of the FBI.
What they will do is they will not identify if a man is a black man or a white man. They will identify the white guy. They will not identify suspects. For instance, you know all the attacks on the Asians? Take a look at the local press and the national press. They were all black. You can see them in the videos. They would not say that. So let me ask you. A guy murders someone.
I noticed that.
How would you know who to look for? When Kennedy was shot, and they put out a factual police bulletin on his description, they had him to a T. 5'10", 150 pounds, 24 to 30 years old, thinning on top, pale, 150 pounds, dressed in a T-shirt and slacks. They had him. That's why a cop in a suburb outside of Dallas, when he went to his rooming house and was walking down the block, stopped him because he looked just like the description he got over his radio. In that technology of 1960, they wouldn't have a picture. All he got is that report, and he didn't have a name, and he was just walking down the street miles from downtown Dallas, where the assassination happened, and he's walking down the street down to Oak Cliff, which is a suburb at that time, and the cops stopped because he looked just like that description. And sure enough, when he got out of the car, and when he approached him with that in vain, Oswald shot him straight because he knew he had him figured. He had it figured. That's how accurate it was. Can you imagine today?
Yeah.
How would you not identify?
Well,
so therefore. So what you're doing is you're letting a murderer go. How can you not describe it? Literally, as a matter of fact, the Asian was a good example. I happen to know it because I know how they attacked Asians, blacks, in New York City and Brooklyn. I was there. I saw it at the fruit store. And now this woke and this political correctness has gone amok where now it's racial to describe someone who committed a crime. That's woke.
Well, I think you're right. They've made profiling a dirty word, but that was never a racist concept. That was a way of it was a tool for investigating criminal pursuits. It didn't have anything to do with targeting
listen,
it was trying to target criminal.
Hold on. If you're a cop, and you're asking a witness, what did you see? What are they going to tell you? What if you're a cop?
Oh, I'm going to.
Number one, you play a cop. You're asking me a question. I witnessed a guy shoot somebody at the 7-Eleven. What are you going to ask me? If you're looking, you're trying to dig. What are you going to ask? What's a reporter?
Can you describe the perpetrator?
How would you describe somebody? Seriously, if the person if the person was Marilyn Monroe, what would you describe? Blonde haired, busty, cute, beautiful. Well, how would you do? You would describe her in detail. If it looked like Sammy Davis,
I would say she was a white female with blonde hair, probably about 5'4". if I saw her eyes, I'd say blue. A lot of times you don't, but a white woman, you know, she was a white woman with blonde hair, probably about 5'4", nice build.
Very good looking, very good looking, very good looking, right? I mean, you would describe
maybe,
her as good looking.
Maybe, say maybe she was dressed in a green dress, had on, you know, little stiletto pumps.
Put it
you know,
way.
I'd remember... I'd just be remembering, thinking back to the incident.
But would you describe her? Would you describe? Would you describe her as good looking or homely or good looking? You'd say she's good looking, right? Finally, very attractive.
Well,
right?
I might. It might not be the first thing that comes out of my mouth because it's relative. Not with Marilyn Monroe. I think most people found her attractive. But I think you know things like black, white, male, female. What color hair?
If you ever saw her face, I'm just using her as a quintessential sex symbol from the past. I'm just being generic. If you ever saw a picture, she's a pretty looking woman. She had a very pretty face. There's no doubt about it. You wouldn't say she was homely, would you? Okay. So any of those things is not an insult. Now, if it looked like. If a man looked like Tiny Tim and they said, was he an attractive man? You would say no. Right? I mean, seriously. Right? If he looked like, what I'm trying to say is not only would you get into race, you would get into the definition of where they were pretty. If it
sex.
Looked like, right, sex.
You know, male, female.
And cops ask questions like that. They would ask you, attractive, not attractive, young, old, pretty, in shape. I mean, this is what they ask you, right?
Yeah,
like the
build,
girl at the Alamo, right? You, right. I mean, you know what I mean. I mean, that's what I'm talking about. And so now when they put out these APBs, take a look at them. They don't describe them. I think it's horrendous. That's costing lives. You're letting murderers go in order to be politically correct. That's wokeism. That's how
bad. Well, they are letting murderers go, and it is wokeism, unless it's the other way around. And when you said they're turning on themselves, not enough. Although I did see an example of that last night. But I know you said you haven't watched certain channels, but I'll tell you. No. They, I guess we're 7 months later now, they still have not, if they didn't have Trump to talk about, still, they wouldn't have any ratings at all. They'd be down the toilet. They're hanging on to this January 6th to keep Trump's name in the spotlight because there's not a lot to talk about with the new administration that's making people happy right now. They haven't cured COVID, inflation is on its way to going crazy. You know, when you're one of the things they brought up about the shot. Let's stay on COVID 1 second and the knocking on the door or whatever means they have to go to find out if you've had your vaccine or not. Because the exact words the administration official used tonight on the news was that we want to be able to identify that this is the government wanting to identify the people who haven't had the vaccine so that they can talk with them and allay any fears they might have that have prevented them from getting the vaccine and hopefully have a shot in the person's arm before they leave. Now, then President Biden went on to talk about how much they've spent to protect us by giving us these free vaccines. And one of the points that came up in what I was watching is that the more control the government has over health care, the more they apparently feel they can compel you to do things. When they say we're paying X amount of trillions of dollars to get you guys all this vaccine to keep you safe, and now we're going to go out and enforce the fact that you take this vaccine, then that's scary.
Well, I just I want to know how much these people are making. I mean, is this the, I mean, what are they paying these people, $100,000 a year? I mean, who are these people? Are they trained? And,
well, you know, they're just government officials.
I just find it so ludicrous that anyone would knock on someone's door and try to alleviate my concerns by telling me that they're here and stick me with a needle. I just find it mind-bogglingly ludicrous.
I do too. But they
like
may
I
be
said,
able.
Like I said, I just wait to see they knock on some guy, and he says probably a chubby guy. He says, "Hey, I ain't gonna get no vac." And the next thing to do is they pull his pants down.
Well, except we get them in our arm, but yes. But yes, that's what I mean.
I'm taking dramatic license. They're bending him over, pull his pants out. You're going to get the shot. I'm not taking it. We're giving you the shot. And they'll have the reporter from CNN with the microphone sticking it in the guy's face while he's getting the shot. I'm just kidding.
Well, that is a parody on a reality, and that's what they feel they have the right to do that. And they feel they have the right to compel us to do it. And still America, you know. And I got the vaccine, so I'm not defending it. I wish people would.
I don't.
So that I didn't waste mine.
It's going to make for interesting TV. I just want to see. Look, I don't know about that. I think the more concern is the variants, and I think the concern is that I think, and all kidding, we're kidding a little bit, but now that we're in this wokeness, you see, the wokeness is now in this slumbering state. And I just think that because they've now gone off to the next whatever, they're looking to salvage their ratings or whatever it is, that there's a possibility. As a matter of fact, Roger Federer, I watch tennis because Wimbledon's on. He lost a match, but one of the things he said about moving forward is he wasn't convinced. He's a smart guy. And he's looking at, you know, maybe one more, you know, playing the U.S. Open. He says he's not convinced this is not going to be another resurgence. And that would be a thing to do, that before it's over, I don't think it'll be as bad as it was last time or in 2020. I think we just may have a little kickback this year. Well, what does that mean? It might be at 25, 30, 40%. That's what we have to pay me so we don't take victimhood or become part of the, that in terms of that. And that's because we want to reach hate immunity. And we want to, in terms of the wokeness, you see how I approached it, that it loses on the analysis of factual. When the arguments of wokeness are put up before it, if you really look at it, you see how irrational and how illogical it is and how unfactual it is. It's stupid, like not naming suspects accurately. That's not racial. That's identifying someone. And I'm sorry, if you happen to be a 55-year-old, bald, white guy, that's how you're going to be identified when you're in a police report. There's a big difference between a 50-year-old white guy balding and a 50-year-old black guy. That's a big difference in terms of who you look for. And so and want to know the truth, this is where they get wrong. They're hypocritical because they only selectively apply the wokeness to certain groups. They're usually by racial. Right? I'm saying is what the woke people are, they're the real racist. I live in the most conservative area, red area, Trump area in the state. No minority has a problem here. The woke people will identify and castigate. Matter of fact, one of them on CNBC, Bill Maher, he's a kind of a talk show. He's a, you know, on TV. You've heard of him, right? Well, he's now identified.
Yeah, I know.
Is countering the wokeness. Well,
yeah.
MSNBC went on a racial tirade against him. It's them that are the racist. That's the irony. Because they'll do everything.
Absolutely.
It's the opposite. And it's lunacy. And now they're eating each other. Now they apparently he's probably a liberal. So they keep pushing people out. What happens is their tent is getting smaller and smaller. Remember, I'm planning the next election.
I hope so.
Yeah, because
I hope so.
Well,
but last night, you know, the president just signed a sexual equality bill, or at least he was going to today. It had gotten through. The House was going to Senate, and it was a 50-50 deal, so Nancy or whoever can probably be a tiebreaker. But the president already said he would sign it. And the example they gave last night was a spa that was a women's spa where women even would, like, bring their teenage daughters or whatever and get a mani, a pedi, a massage. So if a woman is getting a massage, she's laying down, she's not dressed. A guy with a beard and his package showing came walking in there, and he said he identified as a woman. Now, he was allowed to do that just because he said that he identified as a woman. There was no, you know, going back and looking into any medical records or any proof on social media that this guy had ever said that before. So you can see where the problem could come in if the bill simply says all somebody has to do is say they identify as, and it's already been happening that
Hey, I hate to tell you, number one, you know what the only thing it gave me? Thank God Biden has finally done something I'm all for. That means I can go in and claim that and I can get into that spa. I'm right there. I'm going to head right there. Thank you.
Well, and see, the problem
Listen, I hate to tell you, it's a straight man's dream.
And you're a perfect example right there. I'm happy that you said that because you are a perfect example of why that bill is so wrong. Because somebody who doesn't identify, who just wants a free pass, who's straight, can just say, hey, I'm identifying as a woman today and be able to walk into a place that has been a safe space for women in the past.
I'm kidding. I think they should.
Well,
have
no, to. I'm glad that you said it. I'm glad you said it because it just shows how easily that could be abused by having such a loose way.
I know.
All
listen,
a person's got to do
listen,
is say it.
It was my arguments when they talked about gays in the military. I was a libertarian years ago. When they were talking to gays in the military and how as a straight guy I would be uncomfortable that I would want them to shower separately. What? Why? What's wrong with that? You probably have had gays and you just didn't know it. Well, yeah, but they had to keep it on the wraps. Right? Okay. I said, but if it's not a problem that you have men who are attracted to other men in the same shower, that means I can shower with the women. Why have separate showers at all? Why would you separate us? There's a reason why you would. Same reason why you want a woman to have a private club, because guess what? If I can get in there just by saying I identify as a woman this month, that doesn't mean I'm not a male. I just happened to say that. If I can get in and see all those unclothed women, that sounds fine to me. What I'm saying is...
Well, and again, you make a perfect reason for my argument. You know, and I don't have anything, by the way, against those clubs that are men's clubs where old men sit around and smoke a cigar and drink scotch
and talk
about
exactly.
the Wall Street Journal. I don't care. Those are private clubs.
If you put straight men and women together naked in a shower, you're not having the same experience as a locker room. I'm telling you. Take my word for it.
Exactly.
I would be, I would be aroused. It's as simple as that. If I went into that situation, I'm telling you, I know. Just the idea when you were talking about it, I was getting excited. But look,
that's a great example. If that guy last night, that would be interesting. If a guy with a beard with his package out walked into the female club and said he identified as a woman, that would be a dead giveaway, because when the guy walked in, if he had a hard on, I'd shoot him. Because if he identified as a woman, that wouldn't arouse him, right? But if he came in and was aroused.
Maybe it's because but there's always, that could be because he has something on his mind other than what's in the shower. See, there's always a catch. Listen.
There's not a catch.
I don't know.
I think it's going to cause a lot of problems.
I think of things like
the ladies' room in a restaurant. I'll share something very personal.
I'm all for separate facilities, and I think it's appropriate because it would be arousal. I'm kidding with that. I'm kidding that it fascinates me. I'd love to be able to get into a hot woman shower in a workout center, all these women doing exercise. Okay, all those pretty women would be really a straight man dream, but I kind of understand why it would be separate, you understand? Yeah, I kind of get it, you know? So it just shows the irrationality of the wokeness in that bill.
Well, it really does, because, you know, I don't care what somebody identifies with, but, for example, I'm not going to stop and ask questions, just like people are worried about what some of the officers are doing. When I was a young girl, I was sexually assaulted. And so if I were in, a small restroom in a restaurant where there's no escape strategy, and I come out of the stall and there's a man in the bathroom, that's going to be traumatic for me. And if I'm carrying, he's going down.
Ooh.
And that's it. That's the end of it. And I'm not going to stop and ask questions about what he identifies with if I am in a panic state because of a past experience.
You know what you're going to say? I don't know what you identify with, you, but I know what I identify you as. A threat.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. Thank you. Yes. Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Exactly.
It's sort of like I told you, I gave that argument about same sex and the gays in the military. You have to provide the shower different. I would feel uncomfortable going into a shower with gay guys that were out. You know, I just wouldn't do it. And people, you know, the woke crowd or that philosophy crowd would say, well, what's the difference? What's the difference? Why don't you have co-ed showers in the military? There's a reason. If you're talking, you know, they said, well, it would be too expensive to separate the gays from the straights in terms of showers.
Well, they're probably going to wind up with this equal sex thing that he wants to pass. But, you know, the military is a little different. We should maybe stay away from that, because one thing about the military and the way they're diluting that and applying woke to the military right now is the number one theme in the military is to continue mission. The military has been one of the least. I'm not saying ever. I'm not saying racist things or sexist things have never happened in the military, because they have. But what the military cares about is whether somebody's got their six or not when they're in combat. And they don't care what color, what religion, what they identify with, how many people they do in a week, any of that stuff. If they do their job and they're on this, on a united mission together. So, you know, like you say, in the old days, you didn't know about it. Now, if people want to come out and talk about it, you know, by virtue of the fact, I wouldn't be intimidated if somebody said they were a lesbian and we happened to be in the same locker room, because that doesn't mean that they're going to assault me. It means their preference is women. And if I'm not into that, then that's all I'd have to say is, hey, not the way I swing, and laugh it off and whatever, and I don't care what they do. But I wouldn't be intimidated by it. But in the military, for the most part, they're making a problem where there was no problem. And again, I'm not saying that nothing sexist or racist ever happened. It has, just like in the society at large. But if all microcosms, the military has been one where race has not ever mattered. What has mattered is, do you have my back? Are you a good shot? Are you someone I'd feel comfortable with as a member of my team going out to do combat? So,
are you going
to
do your job? Are you going to hold up your end of the bargain? Right. Right. Yeah, because a lot of
To soften them up now and have them reading all of that woke stuff. The Chinese, who have already said out loud on numerous occasions they plan to be the next superpower, are polishing up their ruthless military, laughing their ass off that we're pussying up ours by executive order.
The truth of the matter is, I think in the end, I believe that the ascendancy of this whole woke movement is going to create a really backlash. The evidence is in the people that are starting to counter it. I think they're losing supporters. And it, which includes me. I was a Democrat for 20 years. I've changed totally. I'm totally, now I still support it. You know, I still was happy that they got some form of health care. I'm still happy that certain Democratic policies I always was advocating for. I was supportive of Social Security. But there was a time the Democratic Party was into some basic bread and butter issue, as was a unionist party. So some good things they did. Now, there was extremes in that, too. Yeah, right. There was certain parts of the New Deal I liked, certain I didn't. Certain parts of the Great Society, certain parts I didn't. There was some government action I liked, but I was always a bit. But the now that they've switched into this whole woke movement, the whole last year, it wasn't the Democrats the reason why it wasn't a political statement. It wasn't the conservatives that convinced me. It was the Democrats themselves. I just recognize the lies in their argument. The harm you're doing to the country in terms of it, because in the end, Republicans have always supported Social Security. I mean, they sometimes scream about doing it. They don't do nothing. They do the same. Reagan saved it, for goodness sake. He's a beacon of conservatives. So the reality is, but that whole movement became a divisiveness.
And it was the factual basis of it that was so erroneous. And the fact is, we're not a racist country. The fact is that all of these little woke things, all in each little instance, we've proven how erroneous they are on a factual basis. We're not making a political argument here. Even you, when I presented this, saw the rationality of attacking it from its factual basis because it's so in fact. As a matter of fact, what it is, it's a denial of fact. And it's trying to make
right.
a fantasy work.
Right.
Right. It's living.
It's easy enough to look up, you know. Go look it up.
Yeah.
Listeners,
exactly.
You know, how
right.
many
right.
how
right.
many black men, women were shot by police officers
right.
versus
right.
how many black-on-black shootings
right.
there were and how many
right.
whites have been
you
shot.
Know, you know what the
thought,
number is?
You know,
the last year... The amount, there was 450 white men were killed and 250 black men by police last year. I think that's what it is. Oh. That's what the figure is. Right. So there isn't a big war. The reality is what these philosophies in the Democratic Party have done, the number one victims of it is the black community. They're now the crime rates in New York, black communities in New York,
yep.
not the rich areas, Chicago, all over the place, South
yep.
Atlanta.
Atlanta,
right?
Minnesota.
Guess what? Guess what's happening?
Portland.
You don't have to, guess what's happening? You don't have to force the police out. They're leaving on their own. The recruitment is down, and they're having resignations all over the place. You know why? They go to find their job into a little suburban community. They're leaving the police department. And
yeah,
so
even
you're,
here.
Right. Charles Barkley, a black ex-basketball player, said it on his basketball broadcast. You know what he says? Defund the police. Let me tell you something, brothers. He says, I'm a rich ex-basketball player, broadcaster. My neighborhood, where I live, which is in a higher upper-class neighborhood, mainly white, guess what? We're not going to be short of police in our neighborhood. Your neighborhood, where there's high crime rates, you're the one that's going to have the defunding of the police, and you're going to get killed. That's what's happened. It's destroyed them. And another thing, the whole idea that I've recognized it in people, they believe it so crazily that they think they're more afraid of some lunatic, some mediocre, because that's what they are. It's generally most of these cops who would do a job like a cop. I wouldn't do it in a million years. They make very little money. You get some mediocre cop who overreacts. I had one come here because my door was open. Him and his partner, they thought maybe someone ransacked this place in my middle class neighborhood. They were very nervous when they approached me because they didn't know because they saw I had papers on the floor and the door was open. They thought maybe I was the guy that was moving in the house or something. Turns out I was the guy that owned the house. And I showed them my ID, but they were nervous. If you're not dealing with high echelon people, the average cop all over the country making 50 grand a year. So you put yourself into those situations. Every one of the victims they named last year was at one point part of the criminal justice system. It got to the point where the guy in Atlanta, who they want to claim as a thing, he was a victim. He ran and grabbed a taser of the policeman and they shot him. He attacked the cop. Well, what are you doing? I hate to tell you. If I attacked a cop or you did, if a cop stops you or questions you and you're drunk in a car in a Wendy's and then all of a sudden you grab the taser and knock the cop down, believe me, he could shoot you.
Yeah, and they would.
If
we did that, they would.
Believe
you know,
me,
I don't think that's a double standard. If you
no,
did
no.
the things
so, but,
you're talking
but,
about,
but,
equally, we would get the same treatment.
And this is what they've done. This is why it's such a criminal thing. It's sad what they did. And I actually have compassion for the black community. Because what they're doing is they're setting that community up to believe that they're waiting for the kindness of some white guy in the everyday world. And that's not reality. Because when I get up in the morning, if I was still in the work world, I'm not prejudiced against anybody. But guess what I'm doing when I get up at 6 o'clock in the morning? I do the same thing that they do or anyone does when they play a basketball game. What's the goal of a basketball player when he goes plays? Is to kick the beat the hell out of the other guy in a fierce competition. Well, guess what? It's a worse competition when you're in the workplace. And you will do anything to compete against the guy next to you. That's the reality. That's what people coming out of college face. And so what you're doing to these people, young people in those communities, you're making them believe erroneously with this wokeism that they're facing obstacles that ain't there. They're handicapped. Handicapped.
Yeah, that's what I don't like is a lot of the people speaking out for
The average
BLM,
kid,
you're absolutely right, is those people are extremely wealthy.
Right.
Like the basketball player, like Michelle Obama. Those people are trillionaires who have their own security, their own security, and they're calling for defunding the police, and it's your average neighborhood that's going to suffer, and it's playing out in front of us right now. So how much did those lives matter? It wasn't our idea to defund the police, but who's getting hurt?
It's
the people that they were professing
It isn't going to be my community because I live in a well affluent community. It isn't going to be. I'll have police here, but the police here are so good. You know how good they are here. They knock on your door when you leave your door open to tell you. By the way, you left your door open to your car. I'm just checking. That's how good it is here. Seriously. Forget it.
It's that way here, too, and I'm in a conservative state.
Wait,
but
listen.
I talked to my cousin.
I'm telling you, this is how losing proposition. In California, the wokeism crowd that was telling them that they had Harris lost the Senate seat because she was elected vice president, right? So Gavin Newsom, the Democratic governor of California, has to appoint a new senator, right? Well, the black community in California raised Cain because he did not appoint to Harris's seat a black woman. Talk about racial, right? As if you can't pick somebody else. Well, he picked a Hispanic, right? And they were up in arms over this. Guess what I did, though? I looked at the demographics of California. Guess what they are? It's about 45% white, 50% white, about 38% Hispanic, and 6% black. How can they complain? As a matter of fact, I don't know Gavin Newsom. I don't know whether I like him or not, but the reality is, not only is it a good political move, it sounds sensible. They've never had anybody. There's 38% of the population. Why not get one? It's the first one that's ever been in the Senate. Get a Hispanic in there. It sounds kind of rational. A Republican could do the same thing. Yeah, I mean, why not? And here they are thinking they're so obligated that they can demand. You're only 6% of the population. So they're sold this bill, and this is the reality. The United States of America, you can go to any third world country, you can go to any place in the world. It's the only country in the entire world who, from its lowest economic minority, 13% of the population, elected a black man twice who got the same amount of vote as a Democrat that was white two times and was reelected. The same country that, from a conservative point of view, elected two senators who are African-American that sit in the United States Senate, but they elected those. The reason why they didn't vote for Barack Obama was not because of his race. Was because they didn't agree with his policy, just the way they didn't agree with Clinton or whatever other Democrat ran, or Biden, 42%, right, white vote, right? But when they were presented with a conservative in South Carolina, very conservative state, they elected Tim Scott. Where's the racism? So when they say this, they look at this and I don't see any racism. And what they've done is given them with this wokeism. They're more worried about this one marginal, overwrought, who went a little bit over the top cop out in Minnesota who did this than they are of what's the reality of what they're looking at. And what it is there's another commercial. They're pushing all these commercials thinking this is going to help them. And one of the ones actually I saw on air, I was watching one of the cable channels, and they had this commercial. And the commercial was, black businesses, and this is what the woman says. She's a black girl, which is fine. And this is what it says. It says, there's only 1% of black retail businesses in the country. That's not acceptable. So I'm here to work with it. There's a woman, she's helping them, and she's helping like a feel-good. They think this is going to help them. And then she all of a sudden helped this girl with the 10 dresses, and like she's starting some little retail business. Well, this is what they don't realize, and which is my view is, it's what the liberals and what the whole social welfare and this whole woke movement have done to them, and this is further damage by making them believe that this is irrationally, that they have this handicap prevents them from performing. Because what they need to do is go into those communities and tell them, no, it's that you have 80% single-family household in the communities. That's the fact. It's about 75%, 80%. It's the highest in the country.
Yep.
That's the reason why you're coming out here malfunctioning. If you want to know why you're not part of the full economic pie, the answer is in how many of those small businesses you own. Only 1%? Guess why? Because you know what it takes to start a small retail business? You've got to work 24/7, 15 hours a day. Generally, those kind of operations, you got to be up at 6 o'clock. You got to be up at 4 o'clock in the morning. Open, close. You got to do every job. Could you imagine them trying to open up a pizzeria? Do you know how much work it takes?
I'd like to say, in fairness, is they are the part I agree with you about putting people in a victim status, because they're
right.
Everybody. Is
it's
as capable
of
doing this.
Does. They think.
Yeah.
But, right.
They're as
right.
capable
they're...
as anyone else of
yes.
doing
yes,
the job
yes.
you just talked about. But
correct.
They're putting them in a victim mentality, like they can't do it for some reason. What
right?
reason? They certainly can do it. Anyone can who's willing to work hard.
You know,
if they can qualify and get a bank loan like everybody else does,
well,
and they're willing to put in dusk to dawn, you know, the first few years to get it up and running, anybody in our country
gets to try
that.
It's because they are buying the bill of goods that somehow or another. You know, Al Sharpton said this about George Floyd, you know, who'd given one of his speeches. And I remember it at the time. I said, oh, God. He says, that's what we want you to do. We want you to get your foot off our neck like George Floyd's, because you've not only had your voice, you've had your foot on our neck. That's why we're down. Well, he's mistaken. It's not the white man that has the foot on its neck. It's all the bullshit the Democrats sold you that's your foot on your neck. That's what's handicapped
right.
you. Because if you believe that when you get up, it's stacked against you when it really isn't, you're already defeated. If I don't think I'm going to get a fair shake in the basketball game, I'm not going to play as well. If I don't think, if he
right,
they don't
exactly.
understand, Right. If the reason why they have a problem, you know, they think singing Hallelujah is going to get you those small businesses. That's a load of crap. The only thing that's going to get you one of those 1%, which fail all the time, is a lot of painful work, and you got to be smart, and you got to be work at it. That's the only way you're going to do that. Do you know how much effort it takes to start some little retail business of any kind? It's mind-boggling.
I do know. And I know that anybody is capable of doing it. You know, I worked in another industry through my life that was all commission, and men and women,
right,
or whatever race, religion, whatever, the commission was the commission. So this is what happened. What you made was dependent on the amount of effort you put
and talent,
everybody got paid the same.
And gifts.
Well, yes.
And talent, yes.
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 Definitely that. You mean in sales?
Yes, and I'm just saying whether it's that or small business, in fairness, instead of saying they, I just like to say that anybody who's got a talent for whether it's a small business or sales or whatever type of job it is, if you've got the skill set that matches that, and that's the same no matter what color, race, sex, whatever you are, you are equally able to go out and do that. I want people to feel empowered, under the thumb that they're not capable or victimized. Because what you said is spot on. If somebody puts you in that position, you're starting from a place of disadvantage, of doubting yourself and thinking you're not going to be able to do it, when you absolutely are.
The reason is your issue isn't some racist cop. No handout will help you. The only thing that will help you is you better get your family in order. When the statistics are, when you have one parent in the household, that child is whatever percentage likely not to graduate high school or college, not to go to college, like 75% chance not going to go to college, a 50% chance of not going to high school, and guess what? An 80% chance of committing a crime. You do all those three things, and guess what? You've got an underclass creation by the time you're 18, 25. You're screwed. You're toast.
The last thing I'd like to add to that, because then you're almost out of time and I'll shut up, is the last comment I'd like to make to that is you're absolutely and totally right. So when they were making mention of sending social workers instead of cops, the bottom line and the truth is what you just said is the social workers belong in the neighborhood long before the police are ever apt to get involved. The social workers need to be there in the beginning to help keep these families together and give them a more stable foundation to help with that, because if that happened, then it would never make it to the police brutality stage.
Right, and if the kids are taught the work ethic, you see, they're being taught that they have to have the work ethic. Now, there are percentages of them that do. It's not all of them. But if they don't have it, and they don't have the work ethic, and they don't have the tenacity, and they come out, like I said, the whole theory is based on a lie. We're not a racist country. Matter of fact, if you really look at it, on the face of the earth, the most unracial country in the world in terms of full evolution is the United States. Name one other country that's elected from a minority in its ranks, third world, European, who was supposedly so enlightened. Name one that elected from its lowest economic minority, right? A president twice.
Mm-hmm.
Twice. And I'm not saying because Barack Obama, the reality is, and he did not, he got the same percentage of white vote than anyone. The only reason they didn't is in the most conservative, deep red South, they elected two senators, also appointed the Supreme Court justice. They just have a conservative philosophy. That's just the way it is. So I don't see the racism. And so when you're operating under the idea that the man has a foot on your neck, you're already not going to win the game. And if you have all of those things, those are the things that you need to address. Those are the things you need to address, not having, only having two parents in the household. You solve that problem and you'll solve your economic problems.
Yeah, and have more of a chance of being able to open your own business or follow your own dream, you know, because there's somebody else to take up the slack.
They can talk all about it. It's not money. They can talk all about it, all they want. The reality is they always talk loans and all this. The reason why it's still low is one reason. You've got to find a working ethic in those communities to do that. By the way, if you want to talk about immigrants, though, by the way, the Mexicans and stuff that are here, guess what, though? They work like dogs. They work like dogs. That's all they do.
So do the Chinese. So do the Vietnamese.
Yes.
So
yes.
And on and on and on.
So did the Irish. So did the Jews. On and on and on. Matter of fact, you want to see the difference? Take a look at there's some communities like in New York that are Ethiopians that just come from Africa. They work like they're the same way. They're the same way as the Mexicans. They do anything. I've met two or three of them here, and they're very conservative. You know why? One of them was working as a nurse, and he came here. I'll never forget. He says, oh, yeah, they don't want to work. They're crazy. It's a wonderful country. Why don't they work? And you know what he told me? He says, I don't know what they're talking about. Africans know. They think some of them would approach him. Oh, you come from Africa. How wonderful a culture. He said, what do you mean culture? I lived on dirt. I had to study for medical nursing school on a dirt floor in my hut. Are you crazy? You got a maid here. Seriously.
Which is why everybody's trying to get here. If it was such a horrid
place,
people wouldn't be beaten down the gate to get
here. Right, exactly. So that, but the woke crowd would have you believe we're the worst. And to the point where you're the worst at all, and it's just not true. It's the only country on the face of the earth that has the best history in terms of reconciliation is the United States, despite our problems. The only one. We fought the Civil War.
Yeah, nobody said we're flawless, but a lot of blood was spilled in the Civil War to try to make that equality and live up to the Constitution.
Right.
So
live up to get better. Live up the true meaning of it. But, and to close this program, one, is the insidiousness of it is to counter it issue by issue. Now we've seen how it's been erroneous in, say, basically reporting the identifying an accurate description of a criminal that might have been a murderer or did something wrong that needs to be identified for the safety of everybody in the community. And now we're going to be politically creative and woke, and so we're not going to give accurate information on the where pandemics are coming from is crazy. That shows how that political philosophy that turns into policy in those veins is so irrational.
Mm-hmm.
It's based on a lie, and it's erroneous. It's crazy. It's actually lunacy that you're actually operating under a delusion and then selling large groups of people on the same delusion for their own folly. And believing that they're oppressed somehow. that they literally have them believing that they're living in the 18th century and the Klingon is coming down the block. That's how crazy. That's how paranoid they got.
Simply not the case.
No. While they pontificate on CNN with their million-dollar contracts and just pump out that junk on a nightly basis, I think they're serving their constituency, the American people, or even their ethnic group or something by pumping out that crap. But while they're making $1 million living in mansions and everything else, and just keep pumping it out, and lying to them, and lying, or being so deluded themselves that they actually believe it. I think that's what happens. To a point
yeah,
where women
I don't.
People,
I think they know damn well that they're living in a $20 million mansion, preaching that.
With their own security team.
They don't need the police. They got their own security detail.
Yeah, but you know what? You know, sometimes when people reach that power, they sometimes do get deluded. That somehow they begin to believe their own BS. If you keep telling something and espousing lies, you eventually start to believe them yourself. It ends up eating you up. For instance, give me, in our contact with each other, both on political issues or in things, many things you can say about me, but I do judge my world around me by facts. And guess what? In terms of our interrelations, I'm very happy and proud about one thing. I thought about it today. I'll think about it now. Even when I knew you would disagree with me, I was honest about where I was at all times. And it even goes to a month ago when I made a big kerfuffle and accidentally did something. I'm not going to mention it on air because we're going to close. And told you the truth about what I did messed up. Remember? I felt horrible about it, but I had to come up with it, and I gave you exactly the reason. And even if you probably was, it's not the best thing in the world, but the reality is, as a person, though, in both ways, now that I've changed some views of myself and I've told you the reason for them, you're going to respect me because guess what? You'll always know I'll give you a straight answer. I'm rational and clear enough in that to give you a straight answer.
Well, and that's what, and you are, and I appreciate, too, that there was a time, and probably still, we don't have a lot of time to go into it, but this is what I wish for everybody out there, is that we didn't always agree on everything. We probably still don't always agree on everything, but somehow we've been able to have a dialogue and still mutually respect each other and be able to have a relationship. One of the most disappointing things to me out there is that a person these days, it's so crazy, if you don't believe lockstep with what someone is saying in some corners of the world, they would throw their own grandma under the bus. And relationships, family relationships, friends that have been friends for 40 years, suddenly over a political issue.
Wait a second. In the old
they
Soviet
can't talk
Union,
anymore.
In the old Soviet Union, they called it the Ministry of Political Correctness. You have to toe the party line. That's what it is. Yes.
That's been a communist country, but here we should be able to agree to disagree in the end.
Wokeism is a leftist ideology.
Yeah, it is. If they don't leave any room to agree to disagree, you have to follow the line or not.
Wait, listen. You know what they did in our communist China? They sent you to education camps. No. Seriously.
Which is what they're doing now. Next month, talk about CRT. That's what they're doing in our schools right now.
Well,
thank God, parents
are
standing up around the country.
I know.
It's
part of the wokeism. They're trying to pump the unreality. Like I said, I think it's a good thing because I think eventually. Now, remember, as we close this broadcast, we'll do that next time. it's the clues of our audience is what I want them to get across is by us discussing and showing the irrationality of these things will make the audience understand that they have to take personal responsibility not only to get the vaccine because we prove it, it's been a rational thing and a logical thing to do, but to make sure that they learn how to use the computer, not to play stupid games and not to just feed themselves the instant thing you get off Yahoo, but to use it to do the research to find out what's around in both in terms of the COVID in terms of what the factual on all these issues are, so you begin to understand them. You have to dig for yourself.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to do it for you. And we're not going to be around
right.
every night to be able to do it. They have to go research it. We gave you, number one here, gave you examples of how she found out information. I did too. It's up to each of you to do it and then call in so you can help us sometimes. Does that sound a way
yeah.
to close
it?
Yeah.
It does.
It's been a pleasure,
absolutely.
Number one.
Yes,
it's been a
thank
pleasure.
You. It's been a pleasure to get a chance to visit with you, too. And I would just, I'll be really welcoming the day that we all see each other as what we are, which is Americans, and we're able to find pride in that, because pride in your country and pride in yourself is what's going to make
a
successful
and remember something. Hey, and remember
country.
Something. That's not blowing smoke. You have a good reason
no.
to be prideful. We should be prideful because despite its flaws, it's been very successful. And no matter what ethnic group, despite the difficulties you may have, there is no place, including up until this day and time, where you have the best chance to succeed and use your talents and have second chances than the United States of America. In case. On the place.
Amen.
On the face of the planet. Yep. God bless America, and we can certainly say God bless, too. I don't care if it's politically incorrect. Have a good night, Kim.
No,
we'll
I
close
say
with
that,
the program.
Too.
Have a good one, Kim. I mean, sorry. One.
You, too.
And
thanks.
We'll close off. Been a pleasure. Have a good one.
You
enjoy
too.
It. Bye-bye.
Great show. Good night.
Thank you. Bye-bye.